Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 52. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
Hello, hello.
And we have a doubleheader that I apologize for ahead of time, but we'll be getting to that shortly. But before we do, Jeff, what have you watched over the last month?
I've seen a few things. I think you've seen way more of like the newer, like big movies and theaters and stuff, but I wanted to touch on one that I think you talked about the last episode. And I don't think you liked that much. I can't remember for sure. And that is In a Violent Nature.
Yeah. No, I did not enjoy that so much.
I got sick of waiting for this thing to come to Shudder. So I rented it. Because it wasn't even coming this month. I was like, when is this thing coming? Like, Halloween? Like, what the fuck?
Which is wild, because it is a Shudder movie.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's taking forever. And I was like, I was so curious about this movie. Although, like, the vibe I got was, like, it's kind of art house and a lot of walking and boring. And so, like, but still, it was, like, nagging at me. And like, I was having trouble, like, looking for something to watch the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, much to my surprise, I don't agree with a lot of people on this movie. I really enjoyed it for the most part. For the most part. I think a lot of that has to do with like how much I love Friday the 13th. And this is kind of a Friday the 13th movie.
It is.
So like when I was like a little kid, you know, unlike normal kids, and we've gone over this, I'm sure a million times, but like, I was obsessed with horror movies. I always have been, like, even when I was really little. And, like, when I was little, there was, like, there's a few things that made me fall in love with movies. But a big chunk of them, big chunk of it was Friday the 13th, 1 through 4. And, like, that whole aesthetic is, like, my comfort zone. Like, that is just, like, people in the woods, cabins, gore, violence. Like, that whole thing is, like, it's just my jam. And because of, like, this was just like, okay, this is like a kind of a fresh spin on that, I thought, anyways. Like, obviously the concept here is that you're following the killer for most of the movie instead of like a cast of characters.
Yes.
And that like core concept, it's obviously going to test your patience at points, but like, I don't know. I thought the movie was just like so beautiful looking, and some of the encounters he had were really creatively done, I thought. And so I was not bored. I think what you lack from doing it that way is like in the Friday the 13th movies, sometimes you would get into like the campers, like the characters. Like forever, like thinly drawn they were, like here you don't really even have that, because
yeah, they're not even archetypes, or like it's,
yeah,
like they're just fodder for death.
But that said, like, man, I was so into this movie, fucking loved it. Like, my only, like, I still like really like it. I kind of wish I bought it. But I do think that, like, it loses a little bit for me in that the ending, like, sucks. And I can't, like, say, like, 100% what it is. Like, you know, I don't want to spoil it for a lot of people who haven't seen the movie yet. But it kind of ends on this conversation. And to me, the vibe I felt like this guy was going for was the end of No Country for Old Men. But, like, the end of No Country for Old Men, Tommy Lee Jones tells this story about a dream that he has. And the story is, like, a minute long. And then you get the end. You know what I mean? Like, this goes on.
It felt like, and my little review that I wrote back in, like, May of it, was like, I was like, the final 20 minutes is utterly boring and unsatisfying. And it might not be 20 minutes. Like, it's not a very long movie, but it feels like forever.
Whatever it is, if it's 10 minutes, it's too long. Like, because on top of it, the conversation that they're having is not very interesting. Like, it's like you're trying to make some sort of point about the nature of you know, animals don't care about what they kill, and I guess, you know, you could reflect that back on to the killer. But I don't know, it didn't work for me, the ending. And then there's aspects of the ending I thought were neat, but like, it just, I don't know, you're doing Friday the 13th, right? Maybe him and the final girl have like a big face off at the end and call it a day. I don't know. Like, I just did not care for the ending. But other than that, like, everything leading up to the ending, I was super, super into this movie. So I'd say if you're like, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a Friday the 13th fan. You probably have Shudder. So I would at least watch it when it comes to that. But I was a fan of the movie. I'm with you on the ending part of it.
Cool. You see anything else?
Yeah, I'll mention a couple other new horror movies that you could watch on Shudder, actually. Kind of like hidden gems, I think, from this year. One is called Infested, and that is a French film about killer, like a bad, you know, spider infestation in this building. And I found this film to be a lot of fun. It kind of reminded me of like Attack the Block, except, okay, you know, instead of kids in, it's basically the same thing. It's like kids in this apartment building in the city are fighting something, but instead of aliens, it's spiders. And boy, like, I don't know what the budget was for this movie. I'm assuming it wasn't huge, but man, like, I want to say a lot of it's done practically. I don't know how they did some of this. The spider shit is awesome. Like, and it's just a fun, wild ride. Like, it's, again, like, think Attack the Block, but spiders. And if that sounds like fun to you, I'd say check it out.
Yeah, you told me about that one earlier in July, I think. And it's one I definitely want to get to.
I think you'll enjoy it, especially, like, how do you feel about spiders?
I'm not, like, I do not have, like, arachnophobia.
Okay.
Yeah, they can be creepy, but also, like...
How do you feel, like, about a bunch of bugs coming out of a hole and crawling all over your skin real quickly? Like,
all over my skin? Absolutely not.
Yeah, so, I think this has, like, a good, like, everyone is afraid of bugs to a degree, right? Yeah. And, like, this just taps into that in a good way.
Cool.
And one more I want to mention, I feel like is really getting overlooked this year, but I found to be, well, there's something about it that's really awesome. There's a movie called Arcadian. And Arcadian is basically like, it will remind you a lot of A Quiet Place. Like, okay. Very, it feels like it could be like, this is A Quiet Place part 4. You know what I mean? It's like after the end of the world, there's these creatures all over the place that are killing people, and there's just a few survivors trying to make it, right? And Nick Cage is one of them. And he at the beginning of the movie, he finds like two kids. I think it's like he finds two kids, but he basically raises them as you know, as his sons, and like they kind of like save each other, so he's not alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like nothing like new or groundbreaking on that front. Like, you've seen a million of these, but man, the creature design is fucking awesome. Like, I don't know. There's this snapping thing that they do with their jaws. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I don't want to like say too much, 'cause like, it's a surprise how cool like these things fucking are.
Yeah.
And this, too, is, like, I think a mix. It's got to be a mix of, like, practical and CG. I don't know, but whether you think the effect is good or not, like, just the creature design itself, I thought was so cool. That was, like, again, even though I've seen this a million times, I had a blast with it. Also, Nick Cage, I think it's worth noting, it's probably one of his most subdued normal performances I've ever seen. Like, like, it's just very, I don't know. It's like none of the Nick Cage tics that you would expect are in it. Like, he's just a normal dad.
That's wild, especially for like a
Something like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like normally they hire him for these films to give that performance. Like,
I will say, like, I remember Color Out of Space. He was kind of normal in that, but he did have some little ticks. But like here, it's just like, it's 100%. Like, he could be Joel from The Last of Us. Like, there's just not, like, he's just a normal man just trying to survive. That's it. Like, there's no sort of Nick Cage-ness to it. Now, I don't know if you call that, like, a phoned-in performance or whatever. Like, to me, it feels like Nick Cage never phones in his performances. And, like, whether you like him or hate him or like the movie or not, it's always like, well, that was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
But here's just, like, the choice was, I'm going to play this as straight as possible. Maybe this was just a paycheck movie to him. I don't know, but like, it's a nice little, again, like you're looking for something to watch on Shudder. Like you want a new horror movie from this year. I think Arcadian is getting a little overlooked. I guess I'll kind of leave it at that, except I guess I'll mention House of the Dragon season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch the show?
I am like 5 episodes into season 1, I think. I don't think I finished season 1 yet, but
okay. I don't know how you felt about it. Season 1's a little weird. Fine.
Yeah.
Season 1 has like this big time jump that happens like I think more than once. So it's like a lot of
yeah, it advances like decades.
Yeah, it does that like once or twice. So it's like you get used to like certain actors playing these main characters, and then like they age up again, and it's totally new actors. And it's a lot of like setting things up. Season 2, I'll just say this: I like the show. Like, I'm not like in love with it. Do I think it's as good as Game of Thrones? I don't think it's as good as Game of Thrones when Game of Thrones was at its peak. It's as good or better than some of the worst seasons of Game of Thrones. I guess put it that way.
Which were still watchable and enjoyable.
Yeah, and I'm pretty into this. Oh, it's like everything is like kind of set up, and you get the stakes of like, you know, who's fighting. Well, season 2, I think it's pretty interesting. It's kind of a lot like using these dragons as a metaphor for nuclear war. But season 2 has a problem for me, and I'm sure tons of people. Something really cool, like big, happens in like the third or fourth episode. We're like, God damn, shit went crazy there real quick. You know, like stakes are changed, and you know, people died or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like nothing much happens the rest of the season. It's just like, okay, like the storytelling is good, like the writing is good, the acting is good. You're into what's happening. It's building up towards war. And the last episode is like, everything is falling into place. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, man. It's like, and I remember saying like halfway through the episode, I'm like, I hope it's not all just build up and like something happens, you know, like it to at least give you like that hook, like, oh, at least something happened. Like somebody dies, something, and you're like, ah, shit, I really would really like to see what happens next. But like, that was crazy, at least. And instead, it's just like everything's getting set into place. Like everyone's kind of converging, and the war is about to begin. And the end of episode, and you're just like, okay, like nothing. Like that would be okay if there was one more episode left. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
It sucks because like, while I thought the writing is good and everything, and like totally fine episode, I guess. But like, you want something big then to happen in the finale, and you don't have like. The wait from season 1 to season 2 was 2 years.
It's going to be the same for season 2 to 3, so.
And so, yeah, it's kind of like a letdown, because you're just like, okay, I probably won't even remember what the fuck is going on when this comes back. But, yeah, that's how I felt about it. I don't know, I do think the show, like, is worth checking out. I did get excited to watch it every Sunday, so. I'll leave it at that. What have you been watching, dude?
All right, so I'm gonna skip one, and we'll cycle back to that at some point in the near future. I watched a pair of more recent films that came out on streaming. Madame Web hit Netflix. I was kind of bored at work one day, so I threw it on. People were like, oh my God, this is so awful. And like, it's not good, but it's entirely watchable. And there's a cool concept there. I think if they scrubbed all like the Spider-Man shit from it and kind of just turned it into like a sci-fi like murder thing where one of the final girls like has like clairvoyance and she can see where the killer's coming from. I think that would have been better, but it's fine. Like, I'm not saying go out and watch it, but like, it is not like, it is not the garbage that people are kind of like passing it off as.
You were kind of like this about
Morbius too. Yeah, Morbius, yeah, yeah, it's like same thing for me. I was like, this is fine. Like, it's not good, but it's entirely watchable. There's some good performances in it. It's dumb, like, but also comic book movies are really, really dumb recently. So,
yeah. How much Sydney Sweeney are we getting in this?
A lot? Not a lot. And it's really weird because she's playing like a 16, 17 year old kid in this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of Euphoria as well. And there is, let's leave it at that.
Yeah. But like Euphoria is like more. And I haven't watched it, but my understanding is it is definitely more adult oriented than.
Well, that's what I think would make people like super uncomfortable. Where it's like,
yeah, you're
basically seeing high school kids have sex a lot, like, and it's pretty graphic.
Mm.
But they're not, obviously, they're not like, you know, but
yeah,
playing high school kids.
Yeah. This just treats her as a high school kid, like as somebody that's maybe 16, 17 years old. And it's like, I don't know. It's hard for me to buy her as that because I watched her in that erotic thriller 3 years ago. And that was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
She hasn't de-aged since then. So not that she looks old, like she still looks phenomenal. But
well, it's funny because like when Euphoria first came out, I'm like, is it okay for me to be thinking this chick is hot? And it probably isn't no matter what, because I'm like twice her age, but
right.
I think the whole way she was an adult, but like, you know, it's kind of that borderline where it's like, she's probably like 18 in the show, but yeah, she's definitely grown into like, she's definitely like, she's an adult now. Like that's the thing is like, they could come back with Euphoria season 3. It's like all these kids are like 30 years old now. It's like Stranger Things. Like, what are you doing?
It's going to be like 90210 when we were kids. Mm. And like, I can't remember the one dude, but he was like 30 something. Playing a high school kid.
Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Like way. Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. That's out on Netflix. The Beekeeper, I believe, was on Prime.
I almost watched this today.
So like, if you remember 80s, 90s films, like 80s, 90s action movies, and not like the diehards. Or, you know, like the big stuff, like the B tier stuff, maybe some Van Damme stuff, like a Double Impact or Sudden Death or something like that. That's what the Beekeeper is. It's just like a dumb, goofy 80s, 90s themed action movie. The dialogue is absolutely terrible. There's like weird parts where they're just giving exposition because like you have to explain what the fuck a beekeeper is because he's a beekeeper, like an actual beekeeper.
I've heard of this. That's dumb. Like he was in an organization, right? Where it's like they're called beekeepers.
Yes.
But then he retires and becomes an actual
Actual fucking beekeeper.
You don't have to become the code name, like, literally.
So like then they're like trying to, because like they just keep talking about beekeepers, but it's like, what the fuck is, like, oh my God. It's just like that's the code name he is. And he's also a beekeeper. It's really stupid. But like the action's fun and Statham, like he's in his element in these types of movies. Like, it's just dumb, fun. He's very good at action stuff. And I had a good time with it. It was well worth a watch for me.
And isn't he protecting like old people from getting scammed or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so that he's this beekeeper, and like that's the premise is that like this old lady has like let him rent land on her land so he could like keep his bees, and she ends up getting scammed online, and like so not just like all of her retirement savings, all of her bank accounts, but also like $3 million from a charity account that she was the like she oversaw and she had access to, and so she ends up killing herself, and he decides like, well, I'm gonna fuck shit up because like I can do this, and he just goes rogue. But he picks on, and spoilers, the villain of it is the son of the president of the United States. So there's like people trying to keep him, who's like this scumbag, out of trouble, and they find out that Statham, who's a beekeeper, is on his trail, and like the beekeeper, like there's no shutting them down, like you have to kill him, and like he is just better than everybody else. So it's absurd, quite a bit of fun. They set it up for a sequel. Like there could be more beekeeper movies.
I mean, you never know. Like we got 3 Equalizer movies now.
Exactly. We got 3 Equalizers. We got what, 3 Taken movies. Like they'll turn a simple concept into anything. So
I will say this, I like kind of love the Equalizer though. Like,
yeah, those are, you know, when you look at those types of movies, like they're good. Like,
yeah,
just you know, he's just a dude that steps in and does, and it's similar to that, just like,
yeah.
Turn the stupid nozzle all the way up to 11, like
it becomes beekeeper.
It becomes the beekeeper. Really stupid. 3 more quick ones before we get into our main event here. I went out to the theaters and saw Twisters.
Yeah, I wanted to, and I did not.
I had a lot of fun with this. I don't think it has any right to be as good or as fun as it is. But it's like a sequel nobody wanted, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, they should make a sequel to Twister. Like, this movie from 1996 that was a hit at the time, but like, has anybody really been like, hey, like, I really want a tornado movie? Glenn Powell, I think, is he's kind of the male lead in this, and he's quite fun. I can't think of the girl's name, but she's quite fun as well. And then there's some cool special effects watching, you know, tornadoes just destroy everything. The ending gets a little maybe like over dramatic and ridiculous, but I don't know. It's like, you're already along for the ride. Just have fun with it. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
You know what's crazy is I have never seen Twister.
Really?
Despite the fact that I'm like a big Bill Paxton fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Never seen it. And I actually, part of me was waiting to go see it because there's a drive-in. I've never been to it, but it's within like a 40-minute drive for me, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They were getting Twisters, but they were working on getting Twister with it so they could do... That'd Twisters cool followed by Twister, yeah. And they got it, and it's going to be like 1 weekend. I think it's not this weekend, but the next weekend.
Okay.
I'm a little worried about it, though, because the opening weekend that they had Twisters, two, three weeks ago now,
mm-hmm.
they had to turn people away an hour before the movie even started. They sold out. And I'm like, if I'm driving
40 you know, minutes, hour,
yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get there and get turned away. Because they sold out, so I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like a really cool thing, though. I haven't been to a drive-in since I was a little kid.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect movie. But both those movies are probably great for that type of viewing experience.
It would be awesome. I wish they were more common, but
yeah.
Anyways, I'll see it eventually.
They don't tie into each other. It's not sequel. It's just a I love the fact that they were just like, we're gonna revive this by just adding an S on to it.
Yeah, dollar sign.
How about more tornadoes? Like, it's really stupid. And then finally, two movies that very recent. I went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't really care about the Marvel stuff anymore, but it's like, oh, everybody's kind of like talking about this one. And, you know, I like Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. It's fun. It's entertaining. It is not a good movie. It's 2 hours of Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman throwing jokes at each other. They land more often than they don't, but
a lot of references and appearances, right?
Yeah, I think the cameos are like a lot of fun.
Unfortunately, Twitter like ruins a lot of that shit. Like, so just like things I know. I don't care. I'm like kind of you. I mean, you know me. I'm even worse. I really don't care about comic book movies. Yeah. But if I was going to watch this, it would be nice to not know every joke that's coming. Like,
yeah, every joke. The cameos. Like, I unfortunately also knew them going in. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if I had seen it with no knowledge, like, that would have been cool. Like
there's one from like a Marvel character going back. I can't believe they brought him and that actor back.
Yeah.
And to do the, you know what I'm talking about, to do the things that he says in it. I was like, damn, that's all. Like, I love, like, those movies I love. You know what I'm talking about.
But then
there's another character that I've always, I think me and a lot of people have always wanted, from the X-Men, that are always wanted to see in live action. That's pretty neat.
He shows up as well. Yeah. And it's actually,
like, it's exactly how you'd expect him to be, like, kind of.
Absolutely. And, like, they, because, like, you know, Deadpool is very irreverent, like he's always cracking jokes at everybody. And half of them are, like, fourth wall breaking jokes. So it's like, this character speaks in an accent and he's just, like, mocking it the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. But also, it's exactly how you want that character to sound. Because that's how it works in the comic books, and that's how it's worked in like the X-Men cartoon. Like, that's what you want out of this character. It's really cool to see it like live action. And it's an actor that's been tied to it for like a decade before it was
finally shown. I guess. So,
that's kind of neat too. There's some other cameos that are, you know, they're neat that like they bring these things back, but
the film cast review of this, Jeff Cannata, I swear to God, dude almost started crying about the fact that you could see Wolverine with his mask on.
It's so dumb. It looks awful.
Cannata, man, I like the guy, but he is so, like, when he, first of all, he gets very enthusiastic. And I guess I got that streak in me too, but like when it comes to comic book shit, like, he literally sounded like he was going to start crying about the fucking Wolverine putting the mask on. And he's like, we've been told that wouldn't work if he wears the mask.
It's so dumb.
Oh, it doesn't.
It's so fucking dumb. In fact, like,
I had forgotten that he had a mask. That's how long it's been, you know.
Like, yeah, I mean, Hugh Jackman's been playing him for like 20 years and totally he doesn't wear the mask. And yeah, they put the fucking, and it's the classic mask too, because he's wearing the yellow outfit, like, mm-hmm, you know, from, mm-hmm, and it looks so stupid. And Deadpool makes a joke. I think he calls the because if you know the Wolverine mask, he kind of has these like wings that come out of the head.
I literally had to look it up. It's been so long. I'm just so used to the movie version. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's one joke, but like, don't want to spoil most of it for people that'll watch it, but he calls them blowjob handles, and it's like, yeah, they're really stupid.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's dumb. Some of the stuff goes on too long. I think the action's not really that good. Like, it's supposed to be there's this big epic. I wouldn't even call it epic. It's supposed to be this big epic battle between, like, you know, Deadpool, Wolverine, and like the bad guys and the other good guys. And it doesn't seem very epic. Like, they do like an overhead shot. And it's like, oh, that's not a lot of people down there. It's just, it's stuff like that. It's like, and maybe that's what they were going for, is just like make fun of it. But some of it doesn't work. The jokes more often than not do work. It's just, I don't think I'll ever watch that movie again.
Yeah.
But it's neat. Like, it's, and the other piece of it is like, it's kind of like a love letter to before the MCU existed, like those films.
Yeah.
They have like neat clips from like when they originally filmed the first X-Men. So like, yeah, behind the scenes clips of Hugh Jackman and Halle Berry and all of them like acting in the original X-Men.
Way younger.
Yeah, way younger. And like, it's not like them doing the character, it's like them having fun behind the scenes
and the costumes
and stuff. And it's like neat, like that they have this archive footage. I wish they had it for the other character and those films. Because I think some of that would have been neat too, but also that unfortunately that character is not Fox. They were New Line that made those films. So anyway, Deadpool and Wolverine. I enjoyed it. I don't think I'll ever watch it again though. And finally, last one here. I was really, really looking forward to this. I went and saw the new M. Night Shyamalan film,
yes.
Crap.
Yes.
And I did not like it.
Dude, it's so wild. I'm looking forward to it too. Or I was. And then like you saw it. I don't think I saw one person who's seen it that was like, fuck yeah, Trap. Everyone is like, yeah, it didn't quite work. At best. Oh man, like how do you, it looked so fun. What happened?
So few things. One, the trap. So like if you've seen the trailers, like it's the cops are hunting a serial killer, and the serial killer is in an arena, and the police, the FBI, has set up a trap to catch him here. They never really kind of go into what the trap is, other than like, hey, we know he's going to be here, so we're just going to interview all the dudes.
It's just crazy.
Sense. And the film follows the killer for most of the film, but he's never doing anything like super clever to like escape. So it's like, just didn't quite work. And then it abandons all that in the final act, and it changes perspective. So you're going from the perspective of this guy who is being hunted, and all of a sudden just changes perspective in like the final act of the film, to be a more traditional kind of stalker type film. It didn't work for me. I didn't hate it, but
one thing no one is really touching on, is there like a Shyamalan twist or no?
Not like.
Is the
perspective? Yeah, there is. There's a twist. It's not as like dramatic as what you normally get from him. And like you had to ask, and I'd be like, is there one? There is. So it's like, there's a thing that's like, oh, this is like the catalyst for everything that's happened and why that happens. And
does that have to do with the perspective shift or no?
No.
Okay.
I think they could have left it as from the perspective of Josh Hartnett's character. And still done that, the twist kind of lines up with like something at the very end. It's like how they came to set the trap, as opposed to anything like oh, he's not really the killer or something like that. No, he is. Like, he's the killer. He's a shitbag dude who gets off on killing people, and he's lived a double life. It's like, I mean, the trailer kind of leads that up, right? He's taking his daughter to a concert. It's the other thing. They spend a little bit too much time on the music in this, and it's not good.
Showing off Shyamalan's daughter.
Yeah,
his daughter. Is she the one who directed that horror movie that came out, or is it a different daughter?
I think it's a different daughter.
Oh.
And I enjoyed that one. I'm not sure if they're the same people, but I know he has multiple daughters. In fact, he has a tendency to put himself in his movies, and he shows up in this as well. He claims to be the singer's uncle, which is funny because I don't think the character that is playing is his daughter, but the music is all written by her.
Oh, okay.
And it's just not great. It also is supposed to take place in Philly. And I don't know where the hell it takes place in Philly, because
this is what I wanted to ask you about him. Do you find that there are, like, he sets all of his movies in Philly?
Yeah.
Are there signifiers to people that are in the know, like you, that he puts in, that you're like, oh yeah, this person is from Philly and he's, you know.
Yeah. So this one, like, if they hadn't been like, if they hadn't kind of put Philadelphia SWAT or Philadelphia police on,
there's nothing.
And he's done a really good job in the past where it's like, you know, the cop cars are from Philly, or like, you know, you see SEPTA buses, which is like, you know, it's the public transport here. So you see stuff in his other films that, like, kind of, you can pick that stuff out. Or like Signs is out in the suburbs of Philly, like all right, that looks.
I just think of like The Bear. Accurate. Like there's a scene in The Bear. They go to a party and like everyone's eating Super Dog, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know that. Like, I live down the street from there's things in The Bear where you're like, someone on this knows like specific things, and like I think it's cool that M. Night does all his shit in Philly, but like, I guess for me as an outsider watching all of his movies, I don't watch Split and go, oh, like, that is like, so like Split, like the zoo that they're under, is that a real zoo?
Yeah. Like they're under, like, it takes place in West Philly, and yeah, that stuff's real. This was weird because, like, I know he normally sets his stuff in Philly, or in the surrounding areas. And normally, like, you could kind of pick out, oh, this is where he filmed it at or whatever. And it's like, I couldn't figure out what this stadium was. Because I go to a lot of shows. I've gone to plenty of sporting events in the city. I could not pick out where this concert took place. And like, they're walking through the concourse, and there's like a Shake Stat, like a, it's like what? Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have one of those. Like, we have Shake Shacks.
But, and that's not someone
in the camp, not in the arenas.
Oh, okay. That's a small you really know your fucking arenas, like, cuz like here we don't have Shake Shack. So if I there was a Chicago movie that shows Shake Shack, I'd be like, what the fuck? That's just
right.
False. But you're like down to like, you know, the arenas. Yeah, no arena with a Shake Shack.
Yeah, and like, well, the way they're showing it, it was more like they're walking through the concourse, but it looks more like a mall at times. And it's like, did he actually have an arena? Like, where was he filming this at? I was thinking maybe the Lee's Chorus Center, which, you know, was just on TV last night with Harris and Walls. Their speech, that was, you know, I was thinking maybe there, but I've been in there. The concourse doesn't seem familiar. It's like, I don't know. I don't know where he would have filmed it at. Not that it matters, but it was just like,
It would matter to me if it was in Chicago, and especially if I knew the arenas really well. Yeah, I'd be looking for the accuracy.
Yeah,
like, I was just someone, like, who says they're from there. I want to be accurate. Like,
and And like he, you know, like, oh, like the Philadelphia police is on, you know, it's like they call him out, like, you know, the Philadelphia police is here. They're blocking the entrances. And it's like, all right, they're wearing blue police uniforms, but like, don't like lots of cops wear blue police uniforms. Like it's like, I don't know. And I don't know if Philadelphia SWAT identifies themselves as Philadelphia SWAT. their tack vests or whatever, but yeah, whatever, it's fine. It's just I was like, this is different, this is a little weird,
but movie sucks, huh?
I wouldn't say it sucked. I just did not come out enjoying it. I think there's a really cool idea in the film. I think it's just executed not great. That perspective shift is weird, I think, as well.
And like I was like really excited for this, not as high as like certain movies, but like I was like, I always enjoy him even when he misses.
Yeah.
And but like, man, it just sucked because like you saw it, Nelson saw it, everyone saw it, everyone was like, eh. And I was just like, no. I did hear that Hartnett's awesome. Yeah, that the cinematography is awesome.
Super awkward, man. Like unsettlingly awkward. And when he goes off, because he does eventually kind of go crazy, like and get to be a little bit more unhinged. He is scary, dude.
Dude can act, man. Dude can act. I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, I heard the cinematography. Like it's like they got like a really good cinematographer on it, so it looks good. But that's the only good things I've heard about it. The rest is, I also heard it is like very, I mean, this is not surprising from Shyamalan, but it's like very PG. Like there's just like not a lot to it. And I'm like,
yeah,
it makes sense for Shyamalan, but it does not make sense for a serial killer story, in my opinion. Like serial killer story should make you feel queasy. Like,
yeah, there's like one scene. I think they kind of show it in the trailer. It's a you see like a fryer, and it has like some glass bottles thrown into it. And this is fully in the trailer. Like it's implied that it explodes, and you see the explosion, but you see it from his perspective, and like he's back in the crowd as he watches it happens because he's using it as a distraction. Mm-hmm. And it's just disappointing because like in a normal horror film or, you know, serial killer movie, you would see that like way more up close and it would be way more disturbing and graphic. And it's just like, oh, like he did this horrible thing. And then you're following him to what he's trying to do next.
Yeah.
And there's not enough of that either. Like the whole thing in the arena is kind of a bust, honestly. Short spoiler: the arena is only like half the film.
Okay.
So like they get out of the arena and things start to ramp up from there, but
he's out of the trap. I feel lied to already.
Right, like that's right. The trap is the arena. There's a little bit more to it that, you know, that ties into the twist, I guess, if you will. Yeah, it's the actual trap is kind of dumb. I wish it was a little bit more smart. Like, and I on one level, I think this kind of could have done it kind of could have been really cool if you had like the people that are in charge of the investigation, if you're seeing it from their perspective chasing him and then his perspective of like evading them, as opposed to like you're just watching him evade but there's nobody really chasing him, it's like everybody is looking for him.
It's such a bizarre, yeah, I don't know, it I even from the trailer, like I was like super like pumped to see it, but there's part of me that's just like, this doesn't make sense. Like it just doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. Oh, you know that the serial killer is gonna be at this arena. Okay, well, So it's like 20,000 other people. Like,
exactly.
What is the, what do you do? Like,
that's what made zero sense about it. Cause then they're just like,
we're just like, ripping. Okay. He says, I'm not the killer. Can I go now? Like,
yeah. Like, and they're just grabbing like random dudes. Like, cause they know it's a guy. It's just really goofy. It's like, and the way he avoids it is also at times really goofy. So, just a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, that sucks, man. It's just, I don't know. It seemed like a fun premise despite being stupid, and I like Art Ned. So I will see it for sure. But you guys, like, everyone rained on my parade, and now I'm like in no rush to go see it.
Yeah, I'm glad that he continues to make movies, though. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm glad that he came back, and I think he actually finances all his shit himself now. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's why there'll be questionable things where you're like, "Wait, this wasn't was this shot in arena? This is like,
you know, right?
He's shooting it. He's doing a budget. Yeah.
All right. So that what we've been watching over the last month. Let's jump into our double feature here. Our 4th of July double feature, kind of zombie-ish.
You're a month late.
Well, we are a month late. I should have thought of that. And like, actually, I think my review of one of these films was like, I should have picked the fucking shark movies.
Should have picked the shark movies.
Let's jump into what I think is the worst of the two. Re-elected from 2020.
One is by land, two is by sea. You are here to party with me!
Oh my gosh, stop, the sun's still up.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Mm-hmm. Holy George Washington's ghost. It's George Washington's zombie.
We're not talking about zombies.
Huh. Well, I'm talking about zombies.
Yeah, he's been talking about zombies all night.
You raise an army of the living dead, but your pride and stupidity are still the biggest threats to our safety.
How sure are we that this isn't your fault? This all seems like America trying to teach you a lesson.
What lesson? Don't get killed by zombies?
It's a great lesson.
Oh my God!
Nate, you should do something. What am I supposed to do? He's the first president of the United States of America. You don't get it. Washington. Lincoln.
Score. I mean, Andrew Jackson is on the $20 bill.
Do you even know who Andrew Jackson was?
Directed by Max Rodbell. Written by him as well, along with somebody named by name of Eric Looney, and starring a bunch of people you've never heard of before. It is a low budget, independent horror film. Premise is that, you know, a group of friends, they go off, they're like meeting up with this dude who is out in the woods somewhere. And that's really it. Like, they're going out there for the 4th of July, and they're going to party. And for whatever reasons, American presidents have come back to life and are going to wreck some shit on them.
Well, it's not whatever reasons. They're... They read the Declaration of Independence after spilling some freedom beer, or I forgot what the.
Yeah, I think it was freedom beer. Yes,
was it freedom beer? I was speaking on my ass, but it's like, no. some sort of 4th of July themed beer.
Americana, I think. think is what the beer was called for some reason.
But yeah, you know, you get what I'm saying. Yeah,
There's
like these very specific set of stupid things that happen.
Magic happened, and
yes, it's like the Necronomicon type thing, but yes. Instead we're raising dead presidents who. I'm just kind of like, did they make this movie because they had a couple costumes and wigs and shit? Because like that's kind of what it like. Some of the presidents don't even look decayed, or I don't even know. I don't know what they're going for with it.
George Washington does not look like some of the other ones look. Maybe like, oh, we put a little bit of effort into this.
Well, but there's
like,
one.
George Washington is not. He's just like a fat dude. They don't look like the presidents either. Not really.
Well, it's like, I want to say George Washington started it off looking decomposed, but he appears more human as the movie goes on. And I was like, is that what it is? They slowly turn into human again? Like,
that's a good observation that I didn't catch. I did fall asleep three times watching this movie.
So. I don't blame you, but like, Andrew, there's like three presidents that come. This is a slasher movie with three dead presidents coming back, and like,
George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Andrew Jackson.
And like, Lincoln and Andrew Jackson just look like dudes who threw a wig on and a top hat, and it's like there's no real makeup work going on besides that,
right?
Forgot where I was going with this, but yeah, I don't understand. All right, I think we need to like reassess everything here because, like you said, it's sure. low budget.
It is low budget. Yes,
this is an amateur, like amateur, not low budget. Amateur, like this is someone making their first movie, and it's like with their friends, and it looks like something that you would have made. With your like family on vacation, with like, if you had a camcorder when you were a kid, like that is like the level of craftsmanship we're talking about. Like it is not good.
Yeah. So this is the third. I have this flipped. It's the second film that Max Radbill has made here. He did one previously called The Sisterhood of Girls Who Won't Date Me. But yes, it's like this is exactly what Jeff said. Like it is a, you know, just somebody that has like friends that want to be actors, and that's what they did.
Like, I think there's one thing that you've demonstrated with the picks this episode is like, these two movies clearly define the difference between direct-to-video and low-budget and whatever this is, which is just, like, someone trying to make something out of nothing. It's completely an amateur. This is an amateur production. Like, there are things in this where it's, like early on, there's, like, two girls talking in the car, and then one guy's outside the car doing something, and he's, like, trying to talk to them, and the audio is all fucked up because, like, he's outside of the car, and they're capturing his audio from inside the car, and it just sounds
muffled.
Bad. Yeah, like not how a professional movie would sound. This shit is all over this. Anyways, go ahead.
Unfortunately, I just don't have much to say about it. Like it's, you know, it's the friends going off. They meet up, they have a party, and then some bad horror happens. Like with the zombies showing up, and the friends start getting, you know, offed one by one until it's really just the half brother and sister.
That
live to the end, and everybody's fucking annoying in this movie. Like in fact, I think the best scene in the film happens in like the first few minutes, where a character that's not in it for very long, her car, I don't know if her car breaks down or why she stops her car. But she gets out of it, and one of the zombie presidents comes up and rips her arm off. And that's the best glorious scene, I thought, in the film. And it's also where it started just going completely downhill.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Like,
you're right. It's very hard to judge this, like, from any sort of...
Where I kind of, like, will come to its defense a little bit is that, like, it is a, like, it knows what it is.
Yes.
Which is not always the best way to go. Like, a good, bad movie, it does not know it's bad, but it's trying so hard, and that's what makes it funny. And yeah. This is, like, a movie that is, like, this guy knows it's his first shot at trying to do something recent, second, whatever. And it's just clearly so amateur, but like it's at least not taking itself seriously. And it knows it's goofy and it's trying to be goofy. Now, do those jokes land? I think that they mostly don't because of how bad everything is around it.
Yeah. Like the acting isn't great. It's like actively bad in most cases. Like the cinematography is rough.
I mean,
audio is rough.
Cinematography. What cinematography?
Yeah. It's a dude with a camera. Like, he keeps stuff in frame, I guess. There's that. We've seen some low budget, like amateurish films where they can't even do that properly. So,
this is better than your Gay Pride Month for sure. Even this one, like, this is,
yeah,
there's things about it. Oh, there's things I thought were kind of funny. Like, there's a part where, like, George Washington is fighting this guy's girlfriend, I think, and like he and this other guy are hiding in the kitchen while this is happening. It's like they're not doing anything. They're like letting this George Washington beat up on her. And like, again, here's to give you an example of humor. It's like it's trying, but I think it's in that scene they say the title of the movie, Re-Elected, and then like then the title card shows up, like a super late title card, and they actually do that joke twice.
I must have missed it the second time.
They do it again near the end. It's like we're getting reelected, and it's like they do it again. There's that one goofy guy, like he's like, "What's the number for the police?" And the girl's like, "You're not that stupid, are you?" And he's like, "No, of course not." He's like, "Right." He's like, 1-800-POLICE. I don't know why it's stupid. It's stupid. Again, you gotta look for like something in this. There was one part. Well, I thought it was fun that the dead presidents talked. And there's one part where they, I forgot which one, probably like, I think one of the like victims, like one of the people at the cabin were like, said something about how slavery went away. And George Washington was like, "Wait, slavery went away?" And he like turns and looks at Lincoln, and Lincoln's like, "Oops." That was, I don't know, kind of funny. Like, again, this is me trying, like, I'm trying to be, like, nice.
Yeah. Because it's, as much as I don't like this, you're absolutely right. Like, this isn't somebody that, you know, has done films before and, like actual films. And he's just trying. Like, he had an idea and he threw it out there, and him and, you know, all these people that he got to do this film with him.
Everyone's game. They're trying.
They're all giving it their all.
I would say the brother in this, like, who ends up being like the main dude at the end, like, I don't know. He could maybe be someone in a movie. Like, I could see it showing up in a part somewhere.
I mean, he has like a manic energy to him that
Yeah, it's kind of like the JMU's thing, or you know, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like,
or who's the guy who played Stifler?
Yes. God, why can't I think of his name? I like him too.
Like a low budget version of him.
Yes, like he's got that energy. He's got the look. When he finds the beer in the basement, he's like, this party just went from 10 to 1776. There's things like that in this that are like, I'm like, I could kind of hang my hat on that. That's yeah, it. Like, I think this movie's terrible.
Like it's that's a dumb line, but because of the way he delivers it, like you kind of like can't help but smile.
Well, other than that, I think this, I don't know, this is like really, really bad, and I would not recommend.
No, and I wish that we had more to say about it. As I said, I fell asleep multiple times watching this film. I thought I had caught it all. Evidently, I did not. I missed the second reelected joke. Yeah, it's just not very good. It's not very engaging. I mean, it does take place on the 4th of July. There's that.
Here's what I'll give it on that, too, is that, man, I'm like talking myself into this movie. In terms of, like, you know, 4th of July theming, we've actually done two 4th of July episodes now.
Yes.
This has the most, like, 4th of July theming out of all of them, including the one we're about to talk about. Like, the Bay, Uncle Sam is probably the closest to this.
Yeah. Uncle Sam at least has like that, you know, it takes place 4th of July. We got fireworks.
Yeah. But this is like everything about it is America, 4th of July, Declaration of Independence. Like they're really fucking. So like, I don't know. Like if you were out of 4th of July looking for like, I want to watch a really dumb fucking horror movie for 4th of July, you could do this. It's bad. It just has a lot of 4th of July theming to it, so I'll give it that.
Yeah. That said, I don't think either of us can recommend that you actually do go watch it.
No, do not.
And we're gonna move on. So, Jeff, what is your score on Reelected?
Again, like you have suggested it for sure, but this is not high above it. But like, I just can't hate it because it's super, super silly and goofy. And again, if you want something to watch for 4th of July, don't feel like rewatching Uncle Sam for like the fifth time, you could watch this. I'd say it's like a 3.5 out of 10.
I'm just a little bit lower. I'm gonna go 3 out of 10. Yeah, I mean, if you really, really don't want to watch Uncle Sam again on the 4th of July,
just watch Jaws.
Just watch Jaws. Watch Independence Day. Like, there's tons of other things you can watch that are not this. But like, hey, maybe somebody out there will have a more enjoyable time watching it than we did. But I was watching this and going, I should have picked fucking shark movies. Like, should have picked the shark movies.
It's bad. It's bad, but it's bad, but like, at least it was trying to be funny and to entertain you. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So.
All right. That brings us to The Evil in Us, which is the other 4th of July movie here that I had picked.
According to the backwater yokel in there, we took a wrong turn.
This thing's busted.
You're busted.
What kind of a town is this anyway?
Isn't it supposed to be the 4th of July?
Where the hell is everybody?
Nice catch. Friendly folks around these parts.
Great. I'm not getting any service.
It's pretty sweet. Just needs a few coats of paint.
What it needs is a flamethrower.
Join the party. What's this?
Happy juice.
Happy Fourth!
Are you okay, man?
Wheeler, look at me, look at me. Oh my god. Hey,
get back!
Why did he flip out? What did you do?
I heard him talking to himself at the car today.
I saw him. He was taking something. Wheeler? Wheeler, what the...
This clearly a better budget. I don't know if the acting is better, but it's, you know, these people at least, you know, kind of know where to look at on the camera. And
it's like I said, this is a direct-to-video movie.
Yes.
These are like people these are who, these are people who are like models or actors, like they're trying to get into the biz, and, you know, there's varying degrees how successful any of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like feels like an actual movie, but like again, this is such the direct-to-video market feeling to this movie. It's just like it's everything that you think of in a movie, but just a little bit subpar and a little generic.
So, plot behind this one is kind of kicks off with like a murder investigation happening where a noise complaint has brought the police out to an apartment building. The police go in, they end up finding three bodies, one of which is barely alive. And then we kind of start going through this like murder investigation from there. Then they start doing a split with another group of people who are going on vacation to like a lake house or something. I think it's not a lake house. They're on a house on a lake. They have to get ferried out to the house. Because like some rich girl's parents bought this land out there. So we're following them. I think it's a group of five people, I think. Five or six people, like they're, you know, early 20s. And they're all old friends, and they're all like out there to, you know, get wasted 4th of July, have some fun, light some fireworks off and shit. So there's like these dueling storylines back and forth where the police are investigating this, you know, murder accident type thing that where somebody was bit, and we're seeing things unfold with these you know, college kids or whatever. And what we find is that there's the tie between it is like some drugs that
you're also getting like these weird lab scenes. This is like oddly
forgot about that. So yeah,
there's a detective side. There's a detective trying to solve, you know, this crime. There's these kids, you know, standard horror movie kids going on the lake. And then there's also, like, this secret lab thing going on. It's like, all right, it's like we're doing, like, three different movies here, but okay.
Yeah. And so, like, at first I thought those lab scenes were, like, oh, like, it's going to be kind of like Cabin in the Woodsy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, they're running some experiment, and they're going to, like, turn these people into zombies or whatever, unleash zombies on them. But, yeah, these are three mostly independent storylines that do tie together at the very end. But, so, like, on the investigation side, like, they're trying to track down you know, what happened here, and they're interviewing the girl and find out that she bought some drugs from somebody, and the drugs, that's where we find out that the drugs have some sort of virus attached to them. The kids out at the lake house, they're drinking, you know, getting involved, and one of them has some coke, and they start sharing that around.
This is where I kind of call bullshit. This is like you seeing like the whatchamacallit in Philly, like the restaurant in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine is not as casually used among friend groups in that way. Like, if there's people who do coke, it's like one or two of them, and they will secretly set it up for each other in the bathroom. Like, you go in and do a bump, and I'll go in and do a bump after you. It's not like the whole group is all doing cocaine. Like, here, it's like the whole group does it except for, like, the one girl, right?
The one girl,
like,
yeah.
Everyone else fucking does it. Some call shenanigans on that. I'm your cocaine accuracy person.
Yeah, it's, I'm glad you said that, because I would not have thought.
No, it didn't strike you as weird. Like, I don't know. Have you ever been in a group of friends where everyone was doing cocaine? Like, I've never. No,
that is true.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that I've known people that have done it, but you're right. Like, they.
I'm sure you've been in rooms, though, where everyone's smoking a joint, yes. Right? Yeah, they okay.
Pass so, around. You go to a concert. Yeah. They're passing it down the line.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not passing the coke.
Like, cocaine use is not that casual. It's because it's kind of like, you know, it's frowned upon by people. So like, and especially not like, if I say this as someone who, like, if I was at a party now and someone offered me cocaine, I'd be like, absolutely not. Because like the fentanyl situation is just, yeah. I'm like, I haven't touched cocaine. I was never like huge into it. But if I was at a party and someone was like, do you want a bump? I'd be like, sure. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's not anything to be scared of, as people like make it out to be. But now it is. You know what I mean? Like, I would never, right. I would never fuck with it.
So anyways, that's what's kind of interesting about this is that, like, they've laced this coke with something.
Yeah.
We will get into that shortly. Because I think that might be the most interesting thing about this movie.
Maybe.
But yeah, so the coke has been laced with some sort of virus that it's not a long lasting virus, but it will bind to you and cause rage, which we've seen in other zombie movies before, where you know it's, whether it be rabies or whatever.
Like 20 days later.
Yeah. Where it's not necessarily, you're not necessarily a zombie. You're not undead, but you're infected with some sort of disease that causes you to basically lose your mind and attack people and bite them. And
that's what it is here with the coke. But I guess kind of jumping ahead as a spoiler, I guess, or whatever. I did not expect it to be that it's like a drug, and that a drug's effects are temporary. I thought that was a neat idea. I don't know about you. I thought that's a really neat idea. Like,
yeah, because in all the other films like this, right? It's not. It's permanent. Yeah. Like you get the rabies, and like now you are the rabies zombie guy. Like,
because the idea, it's kind of a metaphor from like. You go blackout drunk or you do something when you're really high, and when you come to and you're like, uh-oh, what the fuck did I do? I thought that was a neat, like, again, this is a movie that I think is like a pretty junk movie, but yeah. It has a few
cool
interesting ideas, and like this is probably top of the pack for me. Like, it's a really neat idea.
And that plays off really well towards the end. Where everybody is like died for the most part, except for this one girl and the guy who brought the coke, and also supplied the coke to the girl in the investigation portion of this, and like he's all fucked up, he's been burned to shit, like, and he's like, well, what happened? Like, because like the drugs have worn off, like the virus has not, and he's like. But and she's like, you did this. He's like, oh fuck. Like,
also, he's like completely burned, like you said.
Yeah.
Some decent, like, decent effects. Yeah, like decent, like, makeup.
Yeah, they, there's not a lot cohesive about this that works, but there are bits and pieces where they get it right.
Yeah.
I think some of the effects are good. I think some of the storyline bits are good. Some of the, like, they do this really cool thing with the rage sequences. So, like, you'll see what the the person that is taking the drugs.
Yes.
When they're affecting, you're seeing what they're seeing. So it's like they're, everything kind of goes red and distorted, and they're not hearing what people are saying. They think people are laughing at them or yelling at them or criticizing them. So it's neat. It's like a neat effect.
It is. It's not 100% what a bad trip is like, but there's that element of it, like of you misinterpreting everything around you.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so rare. It's just something you don't see in like movies like this where people are turning. You don't see what they're seeing. Like, this movie shows you what they're seeing. It's like everyone's kind of laughing at them, making fun of them, and saying like horrible things. And I'm like, oh, it's like that's inducing the rage. I don't know. It's just like a, again, it's just like a neat idea. It's another layer, you know? It's something like, and especially in a movie like this, where it's like, this is such obviously a cheap directed video thing where you don't expect them to have ideas.
Yep.
And it does. It has. I think those two things are probably the biggest ones for me. And then there's one other thing, like there's a political aspect that comes in near the end, but I don't want to get ahead of you.
So, yeah. You know, things progress as you would expect, you know, a zombie film, like as you know, they're slowly being infected with this virus in the Coke, and it's impacting them, you know, one after the other, those that took it, and they start turning on each other and attacking, and things go a little haywire between the six of them there. And, you know, I think it becomes pretty interesting with how that plays out. You know, they're trying to sneak in and into the building to call for help because they're stranded on this island. But then they're attacking each other as they turn. I think some of that works out pretty well. There's a cool scene where we mentioned like the one guy gets lit on fire. That's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. how they play that out. So some of it is pretty gory at moments. Ultimately it ends up exactly how you'd expect, like almost everyone dead. You know, the investigators finally, I don't know how they figure out that they're at this beach house. I think they're like making calls around to everybody. Oh, they went out here somewhere, and somehow they end up getting boats and heading out to find them. And of course they, you know, find him at the last possible moment.
Everything bad has happened. Yeah.
All the shit's gone bad. They've, you know, and he ends up shooting himself.
No.
Oh, they end up shooting him. He tries to shoot himself, and the bullet, the gun does not work. So he points it at them, and
gun jams. And so he realizes if he points the gun at them,
they'll fire on him.
This like the movie does have a political bent to it, which does not come like that's kind of where it rears its head. You're like, oh, there's politics to this. Then there's a whole lot of politics.
then it gets really like wild with that though, because
it's interesting. It's cool. I think, I don't know.
Yeah. We finally get to, you know, this whole time they've been showing these lab scenes where, you know, they're doing tests on people and turning them into zombies and seeing the effects.
So, you know, that this is like some sort of lab born disease that has been attached to the cocaine, right?
Yeah.
But
when the film ends, we get a political speech by the guy who's been running these tests, and we find out he's a senator from Texas and
Republican running for president.
Yeah. And he starts laying in, you know, all the talking points, you know, it starts blaming the decline of the moral fabric of our country, and really like he's orchestrated it all, right?
Yes, like it's like someone, you know, he's like Biden did this to us, but it was like he was the one that did it so he could run against them on that issue.
And what's wild about this is, like, looking at this film that is, it's an inconsequential film from 8 years ago, before Trump was originally elected president. And just seeing the rhetoric that is being laid out by, you know, this fake senator guy. And then, like, just, you know, the wild conspiracies, you know, in 2020 of, you know, COVID being, you know, created. Yeah. And it's like, what, this shit is wild.
Yeah.
Like, because this all took place, you know, years before COVID happened, before Trump took office and really, like, really started laying into his fascism. And
this was written before, at the very least, before Trump took power.
Yeah, I think we kind of saw, you know, hey, if Trump gets elected, like, this is how it's going to play out. And they seem to just be kind of, like, voicing some of those same things. I don't know if they knew Trump was running when this film was.
Kind of doubt it. It's
film, though.
I do think that everything here could have been said before Trump. Like, it is, like,
it's, for sure.
This is what Republicans do. What I found, like, ballsy about the movie, it goes specifically, like, you know, Republicans are the bad guys. Like, it really is, like, at the end, it's so funny, because if you look at the reviews on Letterboxd, a lot of them are like, this is an anti-drug film, it's very conservative. I'm like, if you watched to the end of this movie and you thought it was conservative, absolutely, I don't know what to tell you. There's a mid-credit scene where dude goes on Fox News and, like, basically lays out, like, how evil Republicans are. Like, it is very not Republican. It is the opposite of that. And I kind of give them credit for, like, not wanting to be generic about it, to be like, hey, no, it's this is what Republicans would do.
Like, yeah. I give it credit for that. Like, that was the shit that I was like, oh, wow, this is, you know, whatever. It was a direct-to-video film. It's not great. But they had something in mind here, like, and they're laying out their message very bluntly, and in a way that is admirable, I think. And I was like, yeah, that's actually neat that they're just like, hey, these people are the bad guys. Everything that they are saying, and it's just something that consistently over the last probably decade or so, you know, you hear it a lot, like. You know, everything that the Republicans say is projection. Like,
that's what it is here. Yeah,
and yeah, it's exactly that. Like, oh, you know, the decline of the moral fabric of our country is because of this. And it's like, no, you motherfuckers, actively did it in this film. Like, you caused a crisis, and like, hey, yeah, should maybe people shouldn't be doing coke as casually as some of these people are, but you know, hey, whatever, but you guys manufactured this. You guys are the ones that are the bad guys here, and you're trying to pin it on anybody but you. So I thought that was neat. You know, it's not great, but I think it has some neat ideas to it. It hits on some of them. You know, it's not perfect, but it does some things really well, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's, again, the last 10 minutes felt so assured.
Oh, yeah.
More so than, like, the rest of it, where I was just kind of like, whoa, that's kind of surprised. So,
yeah. I don't regret watching this. I don't think it's good. No. But I was like, yeah, this one is there's something here. It's, again, it's a film that, you know, probably has bigger ideas than it's able to execute properly. And if you took these same ideas and gave them to a proper writing team, and
if you had Danny Boyle doing this,
you might have something really special here. Instead, you just have this thing that's like a bunch of cool ideas knitted together in an okay fashion. And I didn't hate it.
No.
Jeff, what's your final thoughts?
I didn't hate it, but like it, this very much feels like a direct-to-video movie, which it is, and generically so for the most part. Like again, me and Chris both kind of touched on like, the ending has some cool shit, but like most movies, very very generic zombie type shit, and you know, hard to recommend, especially when like. There's some actors that are very bad. Like the guy that plays the detective in this
is he's awful.
He's wooden. He's absolutely terrible. I can't believe they went with him because he just cannot do it. So again, didn't hate it. There's things that are like I thought were admirable and really cool about the ending. At the end of the day, this is like a direct-to-video movie. This is the type of movie that you'd see on Tubi. And you know. You could easily skip. So, it's a
4.5
out of
10. And I'm like just above Jeff on this one at a 5 out of 10. Again, I didn't hate it. It is not a film I will ever revisit. but I respect it for having, you know, something to say and trying and doing some neat things with its presentation of the zombie film here. So I think that pulls through unanimously. The Evil in Us is our winner. But neither of these is good. And I apologize to all of our listeners for going with this one. These were bad choices.
I feel like you're trying to punish me.
Well, Jeff, how are you going to punish me next month?
Well, we're going to do an episode I've been wanting to do since before the start of the show. One idea I had, I think when I pitched this show to you, one of my ideas was, you know, imagine an episode about two serial killer movies and we compare those and blah, blah, blah. So I've been wanting to do a serial killer movie since the fucking jump and we're going to finally do it. All right.
Okay.
From 2024, brand new movie, we're going to do Long Legs. And from 2003, we're going to do Memories of Murder.
Memories of Murder.
Memories of Murder is from Korean director Bong Joon-ho, who did Parasite.
All right.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I don't know anything about it. Supposedly pretty good. And it's a serial killer movie. I am a fan of serial killer movies. My favorite is Seven.
I can see that.
Silence of the Lambs, not far behind it. I think those are like the two high water marks of the genre. And we're going to do a brand new movie from the genre. And we're going to do a movie from Bong Joon-ho, who is an Academy Award winner. Went on to do Parasite and a bunch of other stuff. So I'm excited for this. I don't know. I mean, spoilers, I've seen Long Legs at this point. I think you have too, but we'll save our thoughts on it. I know nothing about Memories of Murder except that it's about serial killer, so I'm excited to check that out.
Long Legs, still in theaters, I believe. I don't think it's hit streaming just yet.
It'll probably be there by the time we release this.
And Memories of Murder is available on Tubi.
Yes. So, interesting fact about that, it is not available for rent on Amazon. So, if you want to watch along, or Chris, for you yourself, it's on Tubi right now. So, I plan to get to it pretty soon because I'm worried about it. Its availability.
Yeah. Who knows what happens?
It is not on Amazon. Like you could not pay to watch that movie, but you can watch it for free on Tubi.
All right, so we'll have to get to that quickly. a pair of serial killer films for next time. Jeff, once again, classing us up.
Oscar-winning, you know, director.
I bring us to the bottom of the barrel, and Jeff then resurfaces us so we can breathe. Join us in a month. Join us in a month for serial killers.
Hell yeah, serial killers. Everyone's a fan.